If you can prove prophecies in the past literally happened, if you can demonstrate in history that great prophecies of the Old Testament of your Bible were pronounced on major city-states, kingdoms, empires, and the like, and that they actually happened, and you can nail it down, and you can see chapter and verse, you can go to the history books in your library, and you can prove it, then I say to you that if prophecies came to pass in the past, then prophecies for our day will come to pass in the present and in the future. Last time, we got one of the most important keys in understanding biblical prophecy in Ezekiel 4 and verse 6. Remember that Ezekiel was a young slave who was taken captive in those invasions. 718 through 721 B.C. had happened way before his time. He was taken captive under the captivity of the Jewish people in the city of Jerusalem and was taken under the armies up into the land of Babylon. And there he was by the river Kabor or Kibar in the nation of Babylon among the remainder of the Jewish people who were there for 70 years captivity. So the interesting point about the book of Ezekiel is, here are prophecies about the coming destruction of Jerusalem, when Jerusalem is lying down there in absolute rubble and had been destroyed, and here is Ezekiel as one of the captive slaves. And here are prophecies about the impending captivity, national calamity, rationing, every kind of agrarian or economic or military or health problem that you can imagine. A nation absolutely sick with problems, and yet 127 years after that nation, the house of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, had already gone into captivity. Now I'm going to give you a date today and ask you to check it out and go to your library if you would like and just prove something to yourself. Last time we had seen that Ezekiel was commanded to lie a certain number of days on his left side, a certain number of days on his right side. And God said to him that this was, one, a sign to the house of Israel, and secondly, that each day meant a year being fulfilled. Now, I said 718 to 721 B.C. There are 3 years there. Actually, you should say 721 to 718 because you take the larger figure back the other way when you're dealing with B.C. So 721 to 718, there were various waves of invasion under the armies of Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, that took all of the peoples out of the northern 10 tribes, that is Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, all of them, and took them captive into the nation of Assyria. Now a few years go by and the nation of Babylon rises to greater ascendancy and finally attacks and conquers and scatters the people of Assyria. Babylon finally, under King Nebuchadnezzar, besieged and overpowered the southern kingdom of the house of Judah, and along with that captivity, Ezekiel was taken as a slave. He now begins in a period of tremendous visions that came to him that he was allowed to see to buttress his doubts, to give him an absolute conviction of the knowledge of the messages that he was being given, and to write what he heard. It's been gathering the dust of ages ever since. The message of Ezekiel is a message for our day today. It is going out over this radio program and soon over television, we hope and pray, and not only to the United States, but to the entirety of the British Commonwealth of Nations and around the world as God makes possible. That message is for our day. Now let me give you an important biblical key. He said, beginning in verse 6, when you have accomplished them, lie again on your right side, and you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed you each day for a year. Now a day is a year being fulfilled. If God's word says thus and such shall occur for so many days, then you can look for it to happen for so many years. Now, many students of eschatology, of biblical history, of biblical prophecy, understand that there is a strange period of time of deprivation of national inheritance and national greatness, during which the people of Israel, the house of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, were to be deprived of their national inheritance that had been guaranteed them in the 49th and 50th chapters of the book of Genesis as a repetitious promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had been denied the inheritance of the lands to the north, east, south, and west of Jerusalem, as God had actually promised to those progenitors of the house of Israel. There are two coexistent periods of time in one sense, but the same formula is used for the times of the Gentiles and the times that were to pass over Israel during which Israel was denied national inheritance. I'm going to give you a date. I already told you that from 721 to 718 B.C. was when major segments of the house of Israel were taken captive. So you just write down 718, the latter date, when the remainder, the bulk of them, were taken captive out of the area of the northern tribes of Israel by the armies of Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria. From that time on, they wandered. They were in Assyria when Babylon attacked, and they, with the Assyrian people, scattered and fled. They went up between the Black and the Caspian Sea. They wandered across the valleys of Europe. They ended up in northwestern Europe, the British Isles, and we can go into that maybe later on. But in any event, don't forget the date, 718. Now, seven times were to pass over Israel. And what is a time? A time is a year. How do I know that? Well, I can turn to the book of Revelation and I can find where it talks about time, times, and half a time. And then I can find where it tells me that that exact period is 1260 days. So I can just guess that a time is a year, and I can say that that year is divided into 360 days, not 365, but for prophetic purposes. Don't ask me why, but it works that way in the Bible. A prophetic year consists of 360 days. And if you take 3 1/2 years, 360 days times 3.5, you're going to come up with exactly 1260. Now, if I apply that same formula to seven times, then it's 7 times 360, and I come up with 2,520, or 2,520 years. Now, I would ask you to do this. You take the figure 2,520 and put down the date below it, 718. Now, you're dealing with B.C., remember, and then simply subtract 718 from 2,520. You've got to make the 0 into a 10. The 8 leaves you with 2. You've got just a 1 left, and so you know 1 from 1 is 0. You've got to take borrow 1 from the 2 and make it into 15, which is 8, and then a 1 is remaining, so you've got 1802, or 1802. Trouble is that when you came from B.C. to A.D., you lost a year because you're only counting one digit, the digit 1, once. But there is a 1 B.C. and there's a 1 A.D., and that's each is a year in your chronological reckoning. So you've got to add 1 year for that missing digit, or you're going to be 1 year off. And when you add that year, you come up with 1803. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that 1803 happens to be the year of the Louisiana Purchase, and that was the greatest single acquisition of territory in the entire history of the United States of America, all the way from the Oregon Territory clear down to the Gulf of Mexico and Louisiana, a vast chunk of land. France was almost prostrate and on her knees. She desperately needed the money. The United States of America at that time was a very small, struggling nation. And we ended up by purchasing so many millions and millions and millions of acres, many, many states, a whole band. You can look in your history books and see how vast that purchase was. The Louisiana Purchase occurred exactly 2,520 years after the last increment of those Israelites of the northern 10 tribes of the house of Israel went into captivity under the armies of Shalmaneser, king of Assyria. Why, I ask you? Why does it work out that way? Why doesn't it work out 1801 or 1802 or 1804? Why does 718 B.C. subtracted from 2,520, which is exactly 7 times, and God said 7 times punishment, the deprivation of national inheritance, the lack, the suspension of pouring out the blessings of national inheritance, of the blessings of all of the great. Well, let me just go to them and read them, because they're fantastic. Some of the blessings that you see described in the book of Genesis that were to come upon the people of Israel are just unimaginable, and we have them in the United States of America. But 2,520 years, or 7 times, were to pass over them, during which they were to have those blessings suspended, and they were not to receive them yet. When it talks about Joseph, beginning in verse 22 in the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, it says Joseph, and remember that means Ephraim and Manasseh, because Joseph is the son of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And when Joseph's two sons, as I've explained so many times, were brought before aged Israel, whose name was changed from Isaac, and aged Israel blessed them, Ephraim and Manasseh, he said, let my name be named on them. I can read that because it's right across the page. It says, verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Israel. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Christ is called the rock in Deuteronomy 32 and in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above. That means temperate climates, good weather, shall bless thee with the blessings of the deep that lie under. That means all the land, it means minerals, oil, on and on. And look at the vast wealth of the United States and the British Commonwealth of Nations, the vastness of Australia, of South Africa, Rhodesia, the vastness of Canada and the United States. And this is describing those territories, the deep that lie under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. And because we have basically been a Christian nation, quote unquote, of course, certainly, many of the precepts of God, the knowledge of the Word of God, we as a people had begun to experience greater good health nationally, longer lifespan. We live longer than most people, except for a handful of people maybe in Azerbaijan or White Russia or Byelorussia or perhaps over in the Pamir area of Turkey or somewhere. But basically, the United States does not have the horrible infant mortality of a nation like India, the nations of Africa, Central and South America, the Philippines, and so on. And so the blessings of the breasts and of the womb meant healthy children, longevity of life. The blessings of your father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors under the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was chief among, or prince among, as the margin says, his brethren. What a description of national blessing, of national inheritance. And yet God's word said because of the sins of those peoples back then, there would pass over the nations of the northern 10 tribes, primarily Ephraim and Manasseh, as the leaders among them, 7 times. A time is a year. A year in prophecy consists of 360 days. 7 times 360 is 2,520 days. But if, according to Ezekiel 4:6, a day is a year being fulfilled, it means 2,520 years. I ask you again, why is it that the greatest single acquisition of national territory we in the United States ever enjoyed is exactly 2,520 years after the date of 718 B.C., when major increments of the Israelites of the northern 10 tribes went into captivity. It works. It's a biblical formula, and it absolutely works. If you want to do a little fiddling around with those figures at home, you want to scare yourself a little bit, I'm not about to set dates. I'm going to watch biblical trends. I'm going to watch world news. But you take that 2,520 years and apply it to the times of the Gentiles, and the times of the Gentiles will prevail on this earth until the second coming of Jesus Christ. And if 539 B.C. is to be subtracted from 2,520, don't forget to add 1 because of the year 1 BC and 1 AD, and you see what you come up with. It may just about scare the wig right off the top of your head.